and it could be the very Sunday they walk in that the light goes off like it did with this young man. He said, you know, I went to church, I gave my tithes, I served my board, but you're saying I got to have Jesus. That's kind of the main ingredient, isn't it? That's kind of like making a cake with no sugar. Ain't no good, is it? You know? Wow. Wow. Well, that's awesome, brother, to see the work of the Lord going on. So I'm proud of what you're doing and just taking that time. I know that, brother. Your heart's so humble. All right, kids, if you want to go with Mr. Randy, you can do that this time. We'll get into our word tonight. And I left my Bible, I believe, in my office, but I'll just go on the screen. That'll be okay. Well, I got a Bible here. I'll use this one. I don't know whose it is. It's kind of funny that we have that testimony because my message, as you can see, knowing God but not serving God. How many folks know God but don't really serve God? And we're going to start in the book of Matthew, if you'll be turning to Matthew 19. And let me set you up a little bit what I want to talk about tonight. We have a lot of people that are confused or that have not heard the truth that truly do think that because they label themselves as a Christian that they are. And I've said this many times before. I could tell y'all all day long. I went to school and I got my degree church last week and I'm now officially an automotive technician. Would any of you bring your car to me? Would you be the first one to say, okay, Jane, can you work on my car? You would want somebody else going first to see if I really was an auto mechanic. And so many folks say that they're Christians, but they're not serving Christ. And it's strange. I was talking to a good friend of mine today. I won't call his name, but he's a pastor friend of mine. And we went over and had some fellowship with him, emailing him, and super great guy. He's talking about a church he used to pastor. He says, you know, I pastored a Baptist church. There's, you know, 150, 200 people in the church every Sunday. And said, I tried to go a different direction, kind of, because he's much more of a accepting preacher that wants all people. And he says, this church didn't want people like that. He said, they didn't want people that were tatted up or had long hair or black people. He said, they didn't want them. And they made it very known, we don't want those kind of folks in our church. Now, folks, we gotta really, and I'm gonna put it just hard on the line tonight. We gotta really ask ourselves. Yes, every one of us have our own issues. We have our own prejudices in some way. All of us have to fight that. But as a true Christian, how can we say in a local assembly that we don't want somebody that has long hair to walk in here, or pierced or tattooed up, or black or Hispanic or Asian or, you know, whatever? Because it doesn't fit what we desire here. You got to really question the heart of a people that would say that. Because the Bible says God is love. He's love. And he says you'll know if you're your father because you'll love your brothers. Not the brothers that look like you. I'll tell you, if I had hair, I might have a ponytail to my ankles. I'd be so happy. If I woke up in the morning, God bless me back of my hair. Hallelujah. Woo. I mean, no telling what I'd look like. I got hair. So maybe I'm a little envious of long hair people. I don't know. But the point is, we got people saying they know God, but yet they turn someone away because of the color of their skin, the way they dress, the way they look, the way they talk, where they come from, their family name, whatever. If they're rich or if they're poor, they're too rich. They think they're sons. They got all this money. Or they're so poor, I can't be seen with them. We read what Jesus did in his whole ministry. Jesus hung around the people this church didn't want. That's who he hung around. He went to the ones that the Pharisees gave him the same railroad treatment. What are you doing talking to that woman? What are you doing, Jesus, talking to that man? What are you doing talking to those people? Don't you know who they are? Yes, they need a physician. They need healing. Have any of you ever went to the emergency room? Ever? Keep him goes in there. Said, so what's your problem? Nothing. I am great. I feel perfect. I just want to see a doctor. No complications. I feel wonderful. No pain, no headache. Everything's great. Just want to see a doctor. Do you think he's going to go first in line? Well, if you just wait a little bit, we'll get a doctor for you. Just hang on. You don't go to a doctor if you don't have no issues. I mean, most of us, especially men, don't go to a doctor. We do have an issue. Especially when you don't have an issue. You're not going to go to a doctor. And this is what Jesus is trying to say. Look, these people need me, and they want me. You don't want me. Just like the church world don't want you. You mess up our image. You mess up our congregational look. You bring a lot of baggage we don't want to deal with. So who do you want to deal with? I mean, really? As Christians, do we just say we are Christians by label, or are we serving Christ? And part of serving Christ is more than just being on the deacon board and giving your offering. Serving Christ is being like Christ, loving like Christ, forgiving like Christ, walking like Christ, healing like Christ. The song Casting Crowns sings, if we are the body, why aren't our hands healing? Why are our feet going? Why is our mouth not speaking? We are the body, and our job as Christians is to serve mankind and bring healing where sickness exists. Knowing God, but not serving God. Let's read a story here, Matthew 19, beginning with verse 16. This is the story of the rich man. And I've read this before, we've taught it before, but I'm going to do a little different take on it tonight. Behold, one came and said to him, good master. And this reminds me so much of Kevin's story, this young man. I mean, this could be this young man up in Mount Airy Sunday. What good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if you will enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, which commandment, God, do I need to keep to get to heaven? Which one? Do I keep, which one? Jesus said, now this is not an exhaustive list. He was just giving a kind of overview to give him a demonstration to set him up for what he's about to say. Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. This young man in Mount Airy said, never married his wife, probably never killed nobody. Shall not steal. Probably the man ain't never stole nothing. I'm a good man. Shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. He'd probably say he did that too. And love your neighbor as yourself. I love everybody, man. Peace. The young man saith unto him, all these things, good teacher, I've kept from my youth up. What do I still need? Now, there's a lot of people like this young man. I go to church. I see it all the time. I go to church. I give. Maybe you give, maybe you don't. I love God, or I say I love God. I'm a pretty good person. I don't steal. I don't murder. I don't lie much. I'm a pretty good guy, pretty good young woman. I try to do my thing. I do all of this. But there's something more, God, you're saying, than me doing something? It's a lot more than you doing something. Jesus says, if you will be perfect, and of course it doesn't mean perfect in the sense we know it. It means complete, or if you want to really get there. If you really want to show me who you are, where your heart's at, go and sell what you have, give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, this is the key, and follow me. See, this has been taught many times that, of course, it's talking about the rich man, not talking about the rich can't enter the kingdom of God. Jesus did not expect him to go sell his livelihood. That's not what he was saying. He was testing where his heart really was. Do you want me bad enough just to know about me, or do you want me bad enough to serve me? Do you want to follow me, or do you just want to say and know me? We have a thing now called Twitter, as most of you probably know, and the thing about Twitter is to get as many followers as you can get. Isn't that something, how we got people that we want to follow us? I don't know why they follow me. I mean, good gosh. We Twitter. Follow. We should be following God, shouldn't we? Serving God. This man was rich, and he had a decision to make. All right, do I want to know God bad enough to really serve him? And I say this all the time. In fact, this kind of came to me today as over here. Just a little short cliche just kind of hit my head. Curious or committed? Which one are we? Are we curious or committed? Are we curious enough just to kind of get in the door and play church? Or are we committed enough to follow the Lord? Are we at a point that we just want enough religion to feel like we've done our part and not feel guilty? Now, one drudgery thing about Facebook is, if you really want to know who someone is, get them on Facebook. See what they post. See how they talk. See what they share. And you'll know everything you know about that person. See, we can say one thing, but we live another. And as Kevin said, it's important the world understands that it's only faith in Christ alone, and not just that faith, but even Paul talks about it, or Jane talks about it. If we have real faith, we're going to have real works with it. There's going to be a real transformation. And I like what you told the young man. If I just say, Jesus save me, I'm saved, you say, well, it ain't quite that way. There's got to be a change. It's got to be real. It's got to be sincere. And then there's got to be a different way of living. That's true salvation. Man, Paul got saved. Paul went from being a snarling, cussing blasphemer of God to being on his knees saying, what would you have me do, Lord? And then receiving the Holy Ghost. And then become a preacher. And went and established all these churches all over Rome. The very one that hated Christians became the head of the New Testament church, far as in the natural. And built all these churches. There was a transformation that took place. Zacchaeus, remember Zacchaeus? Crooked tax collector. He was up in the tree and Jesus passes away. He says, come down. I want to eat with you today. And something happened to Zacchaeus. We know he really changed because what did he do? He went back and restored fourfold what he ripped people off with. We can't get somebody to pay us back a dollar for a drink they borrowed at work. And every time we walk by and we look at them, dollar stealer. I ain't giving no more. Let them ask for a dollar again and see what I say. A dollar. And here's Zacchaeus. Went and paid back fourfold what he ripped off. He paid it back. Did it right. There was a true transformation of what he had. Because that's how much they ripped him off. He went around charging people way more than what they owed and kept the profit. He went and paid it back. So we see these stories of when Jesus truly, the Samaritan woman at the well, some call her a prostitute, some just call her, could keep the same man, I don't know, but she had a lot of men. And she was in another relationship, and she wasn't married to that man. And they, I don't know if they called it shacking up back in, but that's what it was. So she's not married with this man. Jesus comes her way. He says, I got something for you. Do you want to know me, or do you really, really want to know me? What have you got? I got water that you'll never thirst again. She's only thinking natural. There's not even anything to dip the well out with. Teacher, master, rabbi, or she called him. What do you mean water? No, not that kind of water. I've got living water for you. And if I give you what I've got, you'll never thirst again. Something's going to change in your life. Yeah, I want it. So God poured himself into her, and she went back, told her family, or told those around her, and there was a change in her life. Mary Magdalene, Mary Magdalene, wasn't there a change in her life? Everybody Jesus went around was changed. And so for a person to say, yeah, I'm a Christian, I know God, but there's no evidence of the fruit of God, you've got to question that. Jesus says a tree will be known by its fruits. And I'm that's why I preached Sunday morning about that only one name and why it was so important, one name. Only one name that saves. Only one name that redeems. Only one name. Know the avenue, know the path, know the way. Don't care what the world says. Don't care what religion says. Don't care what any preacher says. The Bible says one way. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. One way is what the Bible is clear over and over. One name every knee shall bow. One name every tongue shall confess. It says only one name whereby men can be saved. One name. Can I get amen on Wednesday night? Thank y'all very much. Act like y'all happy to be here tonight. Telling you, salvation, true salvation, produces serving God. It's all about relationship. You know what relationship's about? It's two ways. And I hear a lot of people say, I went to see somebody in jail today, and they're it's a female, and she's been in there for several months, and she's up and down spiritually. You know, she's on fire one day, and then she says, you know, I prayed and God didn't fix it, so I don't know if I believe anymore. Really? Okay. God is not like Bullwinkle. Remember Bullwinkle in Rocky cartoon? Bullwinkle. Hey, Rocky. Why'd you pull a rabbit out of my hat? Uh-oh, wrong hat. you know, puts it back. That's what we expect God to be. Just whoop, there, the way we want. Or, you know, I dream a genie and blink. Just expect God. That's not how God moves. And so, you know, this young woman is operating in a way of her relationship toward God based on if he fixes it for her, if he does something different or not. Not sitting back realizing, you know what, it's not about God fixing it for me. It's about me having a relationship with God. A real relationship. Relationship goes two ways. A marriage goes two ways. Relationship with God goes two ways, which means we talk to God. We pray to God. We walk with God. We worship God. We communicate with God. That's how we serve God. And there's a lot of people that say, I'm a Christian, but they don't ever talk to God. They don't ever pray really to God. They don't ever open their Bible and read anything. They don't ever witness. They don't even say they're blessing when they eat. That I'm a Christian. But there's never no credit given to God, really. Just labeled that way. Just labeled. We fall into a label. And most of America, for right now, that's going to change shortly, but for right now, most of America still professes to be a Christian. Most Americans, they'll profess that. You do a survey. If I went on the streets of Statesville, got a microphone, interviewed 100 people downtown, what religion are you? Probably 9 of them will be Christian. It's just how it is. By mouth. I don't think I get very many say, well, I'm hell-bound and don't believe in nothing. I'm just going to hell. I'm an unbeliever. I'm a flat, hell-burning unbeliever. We're not going to hear that. Well, I believe in God. I mean, and hear what they say. Well, I don't go to church, you know. I don't really pray a lot, and I ain't been to church for long. But I do believe in God. Okay, but are you serving God? It's a big difference. I believe I'm married. If I was never home, it wouldn't be much of a marriage, would it? Of course, maybe Melly would like it. It wouldn't be much of a marriage. I serve my wife. I serve her with my company. I serve her with my finance. I serve her with my leadership. I serve her with my love. I serve her with my listening ear between commercials. I serve her in the ways that I can. I serve her. And so, yeah, I believe I'm married, but man, I live like I'm married. You know, I haven't been on a date since I've been married. Y'all got that right? I've not been on one date since I've been married. Well, yeah, we're still dating technically, yeah, but that's, yeah. You know why I don't date no more? I'm married. So I live like I'm married. So when it comes to being a Christian, we can say all we want. Yeah, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. I believe in it. But man, if we're living like Satan, who are we really? Who are we? I mean, our mouths are filled with profanity and our hearts are filled with hate and they're filled with bitterness and they're filled with unforgiveness and they're filled with prejudice and they're filled with, you know, just all this stuff. But how can we say we're a Christian? The word Christian comes, of course, from Christ. It means a follower of Christ. And I said this Sunday morning that the thing that separates Christianity from every other religion is Christ. No other religion has that. Not the way we have it. The Muslims tell you they have it, not the way we have it. The Jews don't believe in Christ the way we believe in Christ. So, Christians, true Christianity, Christ separates it from every other world religion or doctrine. That's how powerful it is. So, if we say we're a Christian, there ought to be enough power in our life, transforming power, that we look like we're Christians. We should look like we're Christians. I mean, does any of you doubt Kevin's a Christian that know Kevin when you see him? You see him at Food Line, Walmart, bouncing around, you know. Do you ever think he's not a Christian? He glows with it. He shines with it. He's smiling. He's happy. He's friendly. He's hospitable. He's warm. He's forgiven. And he'll tell you the truth when you ask him. He's a Christian. Go skip down and go to that last block. I don't read that, where I got that statement written. I'm going to have you go back to it in a little bit. But I want to read this. I did not write this. This kind of a commentary I had and I thought was really, really good. Do you see it down there, that little sentence I wrote? It should be the very last block. Look at this. True Christianity cannot be hidden, nor is it a private religion without public effect. That's good, isn't it? I didn't write it, though, so kind of hate that. But it's good. True Christianity cannot be hidden. So how many hidden Christians have we got? There are Christians on Sunday mornings, but show no fruits no other time. None. I mean, man, you may work with people that when they tell you they go to church, you're like, your mouth dropped. You go to church? You ever had that happen? You go to church? You went to church yesterday? Man, why? Oh, nothing. I just didn't think you were a church-going person. The way you talk and the way you whistle at women going through the plant and the way you, you know, do this and, you know, the way you just, the jokes you tell and, you know, the stuff you talk about and you hate this because they're that color. You hate this because they're short. You hate that because they're bald. You hate that because they're redhead. You hate that because they're this. I mean, my gosh. Really? You're a Christian? I want you to think about this. This is scary for all of us, especially me. What if the person of Jesus Christ, the physical person of Jesus Christ, was with you on a one-day journey, just your normal day, from waking up to going back to bed that day, and was with you in every moment of your 24-hour day? Whew. How different would we behave? Somebody cuts us off in traffic. Hey, Jesus. I just go give him the, yeah, what's up, man? Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. Yep, or, you know, we see somebody that, you know, in the store, and while we are our wife shopping with his body, we start talking. Yeah, look at her. Oh, hey, gee, I forgot you were standing there. Yeah. It would really make us live a little different, wouldn't it? Well, see, the true transformating power of the Holy Spirit should create such an effect in our lives that it checks us that extreme. It really should. That it checks us that extreme. That when our mouth begins to spill junk, the Holy Spirit checks us. Oh, shouldn't do that. I'm serving Christ. I shouldn't do that. What example have I set? What light have I exhibited? Does it reflect God or not? See, true Christianity is not private. It's not a private religion without public effect. I mean, man, we've got Islamic terrorists strapping on bombs in the name of their Allah and very proud of it and saying we're killing. It's not private. It's very public. Or we're beheading this one, you know, in the name of Allah because you're a heathen, hell-bound Christian. So we're going to publicly show you what we believe. And yet, we're seeing Christianity being more and more silent. And I, church, I want you to pick up on this. And, you know, Bruce, me and him had breakfast this morning and talked about some things and about the event coming up, which I'll talk about later on. But he's talking about this in different churches he goes to and sings. He says, you know, he said, I've heard what you said, and I begin to listen now. There's a lot of preachers that don't close out in the name of Jesus when they pray. There's a lot of churches that don't preach on the power of the blood I'm in. And he says, things you're saying I'm seeing out there in these churches that just that they're drawing. Here's what's happening. Churches are trying to get away from the stigma of the cross. I'm just going to be honest. The stigma of blood bought, born again, redeemed, reconciled, justified, child of the Most High God. They're trying to get away from that because to them it's a stigma. We won't get the ones in here we need if we don't drop some borders, if we don't let down some guard a little bit and they don't feel so stifled that they walk in and it's just religion in their face. Bruce has told me that his people, the producer he's working with, has even talked to him and says, man, we need to get some songs. He said, all your songs talk about Jesus and the blood, stuff like that. He says, we need to, can you get something a little more mainstream to get it out in the mainstream market? And he, of course, I told him, don't you compromise that. And he I know. I said, don't you compromise that. You sing for Jesus, period. If they don't like it, then lump it. If they don't like it, God ain't in it. That's the way I feel about it. You sing for Jesus. If you go to his website, he said, BruceHedrickMinistry.com, he said, if you go to it, when it pops on, it's a big old cross right on the screen, and around it says, I think Leonard designed it, it says, Bruce Hedrick Ministries, Saving Souls for Jesus. And then it's got a Jesus song playing. So as you log on, he says, so they're going to get a dose of Jesus when they log on. Isn't that how it should be? A dose of Jesus. That's what we need. Instead of pulling back and trying to, what's happening? People are trying to brainwash people. They're trying to come through the back door to get to teach them Jesus. The back door approach. you know, if I can sneak around the corner, keep them here long enough to get committed, I'll come around the backward way and latch them into that Holy Ghost. Man, we ought to be doing that front and forward. I mean, right in the center. Here's what I am. Here's where I stand. Here's who he is. He's the only way, truth, and life, period. Jesus is the way. That's what people need to hear. It's not a hidden religion. Go on, simple now. I know we read a few of these verses. So here's the young man. He's saying, what should I do to have eternal life? I've kept these things from my youth. And do what? Just hit the space bar. Just keep it in the space bar. We'll get there. Go sell what you have. Follow me. Now, here's where we are. When the young man heard what Jesus told him, now, he probably felt pretty proud of himself. Kind of like that young man did in Mount Airy. I've kept them laws, God, which right there is a lie. I mean, honestly, has this man, have any of you honored your mother and father all your life every time? No. I used to sass my mom. I used to make her so mad she'd start yelling at me. I'd push her buttons as a little boy. She forgets those things because I was, you know, she just sees me as her little. But I did. I remember. She used to tell me, why? You just push my buttons till I lose it. I said, I'm sorry. I didn't always honor my parents. I've had tones with my parents through the years. I've not probably called them like I should. I mean, where does that line go of honoring? Right? So this man has not always honored his father and mother. And this man may not have murdered somebody, but as we read what Jesus teaches, if you hate your brother, you're a murderer. Because, see, murder comes from anger, from hate. So he hadn't kept all this to start with. But then he said, but when he heard it, the young man said it, he went away sad, sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He wasn't willing to let go of what he had to serve Jesus. And we're in that world now where there's so many that's not willing to let go of their lifestyle or what they have to serve Jesus. Not willing to let it go. It's too hard of a price to pay. Too hard. I just can't let it go, Pastor. And you know, we're in such a normal world where sin is just seems okay. And I was talking to someone last week that doesn't go to church here. They called me, wanting some help. So I met with them, talked with them. And having trouble in a relationship. They're living together, not married. She said, I feel very convicted about this. I feel very, very convicted. I know I'm living in sin. And so we're having all these problems. And you know what advice I said? I said, if you want my advice as a pastor, as a man of God, as a pastor. You ain't going to like what I got to tell you. But if you really want my advice, the foundation's wrong. When the foundation is wrong, the house can't be built properly. I said, I would separate, still date, it's fine, but get out of the house. You got somewhere you can go? Yeah, I can go to my mom. Go get out of the house and do it right. Do it right. I said, because the foundation's not right. There's a difference, church. See, you know what serving God means? It means that when God brings something to our attention, the Holy Spirit reveals something to us or convicts us of something, that we love God enough, we're committed enough, okay, God, I hear you. And serving you is more important than this sin before me. Serving you is more important than any cost it may have or repercussion. Because you're not in this anyway. You're not in this sin anyway. So I need to get out of it. And then trust you. Now your issue may not be riches and possessions you can't let go of. Which, I mean, a lot of people can't do that. I understand that. I mean, there's a lot of people that don't support this local church financially because they can't let go of their money. That's them. Between them and God. But they can't let go of their money because keeping it for themselves is more important than sowing it to God. That's what it comes down to. Keeping it for themselves is more important than sowing it to God. So they can't let go of it. But for many, it may be a lifestyle you can't let go of. You know, I talked to a guy that I know been trying to get him to come to church. And he said, well, you know what? I drink. And I ain't going to come to church, sit there on Sunday knowing I drink. I said, well, look. As long as you don't drink it here on Sunday morning, I don't care. Don't bring the beer here, but you know what? Come to church. I mean, just come to church and let God deal with that. And because, you know, and here's where people are. I'd rather have that really than this. I'd rather have that lifestyle than really serving God. And if we would learn to just really serve God, we would see His Holy Spirit transform our lifestyle and give us the strength to do what we need to do and change. Because the Holy Spirit does change us. It truly changes us. We go from that darkness to light. We go from that unrighteousness to His righteousness. We go from that dim darkness to that glorious light of God that people just, you're different. Something's happened. Yeah, God's touched me. I don't just know God. I serve God. And it scares me for the generation that's being raised to just know God but not serve God. I mean, knowing God is not enough. The devil knows God. Demons know God. I mean, every convict in America has heard of God. Oh, yeah, I know God. I mean, I know you know the Bible, and there's Genesis and Revelations. There's something about a cross, and there's something about, you know, Israel is important or something. I mean, anybody in America can pretty much tell you something about the God we're talking about tonight. But it doesn't mean they're His child. I know Trey. He ain't my son. Mm-mm. I know him very well. Known him for years. We went out and had lunch together before, and we've had one-on-one time together before, and but he ain't mine. And you know what happens when we're done spending time together? He goes back home. He's dropped off. I've got enough in my own house. You're going back home, son. So he's not mine. Yeah, I know him. But I'm not serving him. I'm not buying his clothes. I'm not feeding him at home. I'm not buying his school supplies. I'm not, you know, counseling him through his girl problems. Hopefully it's girl problems, not boy problems. Girl problems. You know, I mean, I'm not serving him. I'm serving my kids. They're mine. So I serve them. Though I know Trey, I'm not serving Trey. Though people say they know God, doesn't mean they're serving God. And serving God is where the real connection is of knowing that you are God's. Head knowledge ain't enough. Go to the next verse. Jesus said to the disciples, this man walked off, verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say to you, it is easier. I love the analogies Jesus uses through his teaching. See if you can't visualize this in your head when I read this verse. You can visualize this. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Now visualize that. So he goes on. When his disciples heard this, they were amazed, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said to them, with men, this is impossible. In other words, none of your works, none of your junk, nobody, no mama, no daddy can get you there. But with God, all things are possible. Once again, Jesus is not denouncing rich people. There's a lot of rich people. One just passed away who there's no doubt I believe is with Jesus right now. And that's true with Kathy, Chick-fil-A founder. Passed away at 9. Y'all know about that? He's about 93 or something, 90 or 93. And he was open about his faith. He's been protested against his business because of his faith. He has signs in his restaurants. He's very pro-Christian and very proud of it. Closed on Sundays. Didn't compromise that. You know how easy that would be to say, man, another day of the week. Man, that's an extra 1.1 a year. You know, whatever. And I've read stories of Chick-fil-A where it says that they do more business in 6 days than many of their competitors do in 7 days. That's God blessing them. So you know what? He was a wealthy man. Wealthy, wealthy man. No doubt he's with God. So it's not saying a rich man can't go. What Jesus is really saying is there's a lot of junk in our lives, and if that junk's more important than me, you're not going. Because you got to let it go to get to me. You got to let it go. I don't think Mel had been very happy on our wedding day, saying, honey, I'll marry you. We'll get married today. But can I date other people after we get married? No. Well, just Friday nights? No. Just one girl a year? No. You're marrying me. You got to give that up. Putting a ring on my hand, we're becoming one flesh. Not two fleshes. One flesh. So when we say we want to follow, you know, we're a Christian, there better be more than just our mouth saying it. There better be proof in the pudding of us living it. Not perfect. Please, not perfect. We do stuff we shouldn't do. Talking about the people that are just hiding behind the name because they go to church or because they said a prayer when they were four and the teacher told them they were saved, but yet they've lived their lives just like the world. That's, something's not right there. If we're truly Christians, we're going to be different and live different and act different than non-Christians if we've really got it. So, next verse. I got one more verse. I want to read in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5. Y'all have heard this verse. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. The Bible tells us that there'll be perilous times. And right before this is all the good verses that, you know, preachers love preaching about. Lovers of yourself, boasters, proud, greed, whoremongers, fornicators, all that good stuff. And then it gets down to here and says they have a form of godliness. Form of godliness. In their three-piece suit on Sunday, holding an offering plate, Mr. Head Deacon, but let a guy come in with long hair and they get a look like go to H-E-double-L. Are you kidding me? A form of godliness. We are holy up in this place. We have all the candles lit, the chandeliers polished, the lights on the cross, but we don't want you in here. Form of godliness, but denying the power. Also, he's talking about denying the power, that there's no transformation power. That, yeah, there's a form of religion, but you're not changed. You're the same as you were. What the power he's talking about is the power of transformation, the Holy Spirit power to transform us from not just having a form of godliness, but walking in godliness. There's a big difference in a form of something and the real thing. Me and you are hiding behind a form and doesn't really have it. If that's you tonight, I want to encourage you. Just because you're in church, because you know there's a God, doesn't mean you're His. How do you know that you're God's? Is that you confess Him as Lord, acknowledging your sins, repenting and saying, God, I know I'm in sin and I know I'm wrong and I've never really, and I tell people all the time that can never give me a born-again experience. They say, well, I just started going to church and I just believe. Well, there's got to be a moment in time to where you went from being in sin to accepting the sacrifice for sin in your life. There's got to be that moment. And when people can't identify that moment, it makes me very weary of saying, hang on here. Maybe you can't remember the exact day or month or even year, but you can remember the time. Yeah, I was in a little church somewhere in the country. It was a revival somewhere. Or it was in my living room one night. I don't know, 10 years ago. But you can recollect something of when you really got it and gave your heart to Jesus. It's not just automatically because you come to church and because you believe that you are going to heaven. And there are a lot of people like this young man Kevin talked to, a lot of people I talked to. I talked to one last week, said, I really believe I'll be there. I think I'll be there. You know, I've tried to treat people right, and I think I'll be there. Well, thinking you'll be there is not anything to do with what you've done. Nothing. It's based on what Jesus did for you. And if we can't acknowledge, okay, Jesus, I can't do anything to get there. You paid the price for me, so I accept that. And when you accept He paid the price for you and really accept Him as Savior, that He comes in and reordains your steps. And you just are different than you were before. Something just happens. Knowing God or serving God, big difference. If you're not serving God, talk to Him. Say, God, I'm ready to give up what I've got to serve You. I'm ready to give it up. I'm ready to lay it down. Whatever it is in your life, whatever it is in your way that's stopping your walk with God, say, I want to lay it down, God, so I can really serve You and have a relationship with You. Once again, Christianity is truly the only, really the only religion, if you want to call it religion, that teaches personal relationship. Everything else is works, deeds, you know, following a church doctorate. A church doctor, you know, or following, you know, what the church says, you know, whether it be the Catholic Church, whether it be the Kingdom Hall, Jehovah's Witness Church, whether it be the Latter-day Saint doctrine. But each of these had different doctrines that if you follow those doctrines and believe those things, you're okay. Apart from Christ, I mean. And you're not. It's Christ. Mary was a great woman. She carried our Savior. But she's not the Savior. And she has no power. We pray to her to bring us anything. We pray to Jesus. The church doctrine has no power. The Book of Mormon has no power. The Watchtower has no power. The Vatican has no power. Jesus has the power. And he is my Lord and my Savior. Even in my failures and mistakes, I know that I'm his. Make sure you know you're his tonight. And go out of here saying, you know what? Yeah, I've been playing. I'm not real sure. I want to know I'm his. And I want God to change me to where I'm living different than I was before. That's my message tonight. Hope you enjoyed it or encouraged by it. Thanks for being out here on this Wednesday night. And